Hello, hello, hello. It's bonus story time. We actually got three stories that are extra today. The first one being about pranic healing and what Bree learned about from the Holy Spirit after she had her encounter. The second story is the extra details about her and Gabriel's encounter with God. And the third one is when I asked her what it means to her to follow Jesus. I'll give you more context when we get there. So let's just start with the part about pranic healing. Here we go.
So I think what's so interesting about pranic healing is like so many people want to be a good person and want a spiritual path and want to help people. So it really, really fits the bill for that. And people who are passionate about healing and seeing people better without medicine, without herbs, they just, it's like just energy and then they're better. It's like so amazing. And when I was encountered by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God in a supernatural encounter, it was like in the encounter, I had this kind of rapid revelation. I can't really explain it. It was like, you know, in the Matrix where they plug the thing and you get a quick download. That's kind of how it was. It was like, I was living in this matrix of lies and I was plugged in by the Holy Spirit and my eyes were opened and I saw for the first time things I never saw. And what's really interesting about pranic healing is as you become an arhatic yogi, you begin to do a series of four regular meditations that build up your energy so that you can be a more powerful healer. It's like, great, more power, more people get better. It's the perfect setup. It's like, great. I get to meditate and develop my character. And so there's a very intense regimen that you follow. And it's these four meditations that build different types of energy in your body that allow you to have more energy to heal people. And then as you're doing it, you also have to do character purification. And because if you start pumping all this energy, say you have like a tendency to lie or steal or something, it would also blow up. So we would have to try to pull out all these kind of negative character flaws so that when that divine energy came in for healing, that those things wouldn't, the bad things in us would not be exasperated. And when I started having these encounters with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God hit me, one of the first things I realized is that I had a Kundalini spirit. And one of the most potent meditations we did in Arhatic Yoga was the Kundalini meditation. And the Kundalini meditation is where we got our power. And so when I realized that the Kundalini meditation was connected to a serpent called the Kundalini spirit, I was just so shocked. And when the glory of God came into me and I was like, okay, I don't want to use this as my power source anymore. I want to use Christ. I went through a months long battle with this awful serpent who had kind of embedded in my spine as my power source. You know, it's like so interesting. The human body is meant to be a vessel. It's meant to be a vessel for God and for the Holy Spirit. But if we don't know and we're in deception and we're walking in deception, we end up being a host to other spirits. And in this case, I thought that this was divine energy, but it wasn't. It's a serpent. It's a serpent. You know, you think about Adam and Eve and the serpent. It's a serpent. It is the deceiver. And it was there so I could seem like I was healing and helping people. But what I was really doing is using like dark kingdom power to do miracles for good. And God showed me in my first encounter, he said, you can use that power to do good things. But in the end, it's not good. I remember hearing this testimony from this African guy, healer, priest, something like that. Anyways, he said that, he was a witch doctor. And he basically, people would come and say, I have cancer, I want to heal it. And he said what he would do is he would take cancer and exchange it for, say, diabetes, like a lesser disease. And I think when I think about the deep spiritual truths of what God showed me about chronic healing is we were doing exchanges, right? Because there's only one healer, right? That's God, our creator, Christ. And so when we turn to these other entities for power, there's an exchange, there's a contract. And I think as with anything, when you do an exchange with a power that's not God, it's like Christ comes and he doesn't give us, there's no contract. The blood speaks for it all. But with that, it's like we are in the spirit realm, unconsciously signing a contract. We're opening a door when we consult mediums, things like that. It's like when you open that door, when I open those doors, there was an exchange that happened. And so on the surface, it's like this amazing healing modality and it's so cool and it's so good. But deep down, it's got the wrong power source. All the right things, and we're seeing fruit and healing, but the wrong source.
Well, can you really call it healing if it manifests in a different way in the body, like somewhere else? Like
it, no, it's not. It's an illusion, right? So it's, you think you're healing. You think that you're helping people, right? And how many people just want to do that, right? And so you're going after that and you think you're doing it, but deep down you're not. You're creating a bigger problem. Just like the psychic that wants you to help you talk to your dead one that passed, right? Your deceased one, your loved one. It's like you feel better because you talked to them, but then you opened a door of necromancy in your life. And there's more affliction that can come to an already afflicted person who just lost someone.
So that was actually pretty interesting to me, especially the part when she talks about this witch doctor who would transfer one illness for another, because I've heard this before. And so this is not new, and it just corroborates some of the things that I had heard and what I already believed about some of these things. But to transition to the next part of the story, her encounter, her and Gabriel's encounter with the Holy Spirit was actually pretty wild, but there's parts that you haven't heard which arguably are even wilder. And so they're going to be here. Talks about some things that I don't really know what to make of, but that's her story. So just take a listen to it and be open-minded. And yeah, let me know what you think in the comments.
Like that goes on for a while. And then all of a sudden, like someone flips a switch. It's like we both stand up at the same time. And we're speaking in tongue and we're marching around and we're like literally like doing a little jig. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know. You're so overcome with the Holy Spirit in such a like a presence. It's like it's no longer me in this body. It's something else. And we're glorifying God and we're praising and we're like laughing. And it's like the funniest thing in the world. And it's like the funnest, happiest. And then like that goes on for a while. And then all of a sudden it's like the lightning strikes and like we both at the same time fall to the ground and we're like writhing and repenting. I mean, this is like cycles of, visions and insights. And at some point we like moved into where I had an altar to God. You know, I had cleared out all the new age stuff and he's manifesting demons. And I'm just like, I don't know what it was. It's just like this supernatural boldness and insight. And I just saw this like electricity in my hands and I just like touched them. And then the little like, I don't know, creatures, I don't know, demons, they're just like squealing and they leave his body. Like it was like a whole scene. Just make a great movie. And he's getting electrified by this God lightning that's now in my hands. It's like a demon taser and these things are flying out of him. I mean, I write about it in my book. It's like, how do you even describe something so weird and awesome? You know, I always say God is so weird and awesome. And we always try to like put him in this box, but it's like when God really touches people, they're flying around and it's a thing. God is wild and awesome. That was our first episode, you know, going wildly after God. So that all happens. We start having visions of our future. We started having these visions of just a great harvest and a great revival. And we were seeing these, like, we were both seeing it. We're talking about it. We started singing the same song in tongues. I mean, just all this supernatural manifestations. And like the heavenly gates opened and there was this presence. And we just, I started seeing our future. And it was like, there was these huge fields or like auditoriums, not churches. And it was like the lightning of God that we were experiencing that night, it was like hitting crowds of thousands of people. And they were like falling to their knees. And we were going around going, this is the glory of God. This is Jesus Christ. And trying to explain it and tell them not to be afraid. And we just had all these visions about our future.
It's truly beautiful. I believe, at least, the way that they were encountered so powerfully, so suddenly as well. They didn't have any idea of who God was and things like that. But it just happened, which is what I honestly find most fascinating about Bree's story. This last part that we're going to get into is when I asked her what it means to her to follow Jesus. And her answer might actually surprise you. So stick around, because I think she puts it differently than what a lot of people would. But I think it's actually pretty cool. So take a listen.
Yeah. So basically, I started studying the teachings of Jesus and just doing what he said, you know, it, love God with all your heart. You know, in my name, you shall cast out demons, you shall raise the dead, heal the sick. And so I just started studying the teachings of Christ. And the more I studied it, the more I just got it that this is, he is the truth, the light and the way. No one goes to the Father except through Christ, and that everyone else who's going through all those other things I was doing are thieves and robbers. And it talked a lot about in the Bible, when you are idolatrous and you do those things, you open doors to unclean spirits. And so I just, through my intense experience, I got very physically and viscerally that you do not want to mess with other things. There is one way, and that way is through Christ. And so, you know, it's interesting. Like, I know this might seem strange, but I think it just has to do with my own experience. It's like, although I have a very biblical worldview, I wouldn't call myself a Christian. I like to call myself a disciple of Christ, because when I think about modern Christianity and all that comes with it, and some of the trauma and the religion and the dogma and the things that have scared so many people away from seeking Christ, I think about discipleship. Like, that's the most important thing. Like, are you actually following the teachings of Christ, or are you following religion? Are you actually doing what Jesus said? Are you just thinking about it in a mental construct of this idea of religion and saying, oh, that sounds good, but not actually doing it? So, I mean, I have no problem with calling myself a Christian, or if someone calls me a Christian, because I am a follower of Christ. But when you say Christianity, I think about all the things that need correction in the body of Christ right now. And I like to associate myself as like an intense 21st century disciple of Jesus Christ, who follows his way, his truth, and his life and his teachings according to the Bible.